There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We've been joined by the life coach, author, and keynote speaker, Linda Bonner, joins us live in the studio. Linda, thanks so much indeed for being with us here this morning.
Morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on board in this first hour. We're going to be working through some of the big stories that have caught your eye in recent days in due course. But I think it's only right that we catch up with you and see how the summer has been, how you fared over the summer. Is it good to be back into the routine?
It's lovely to be back, I have to say, but I've also had one of those amazing summers. So I spent 6 weeks starting in Hong Kong, America and Canada.
Wow.
And yeah, my husband books absolutely everything, Tom. So when I tell some of, you know, my girlfriends or some of the mums that I work with how, you know, how organized he is, they're like, please get him to speak to my husband and get him to book some of the holidays. I end up booking everything. So yeah, it's been great, thank you. But it's really nice to be back as well.
So that's an interesting one because, you know, we will be talking, you know, as you're in your role as a life coach and a keynote speaker, you speak to so many different individuals.
Yeah.
And we've all got different characters. And there are those out there, and we talk about it here on the show, you know, different characters in different marriages and relationships.
Yes.
Those that are willing for the other partner to take care of all the booking
yes.
and things like that. Those that need to be involved in it as well. But you're one that you're quite like happy to be surprised, are you?
I am to a certain extent. Yeah, but for the last couple of years, Steve has just literally booked everything. I pack a bag, I go to the airport, I have an idea of where we're going.
But you're not told where?
Yeah, I know what country I'm going to. But in terms of what we're doing, you know, I just say to Steve, right, what do I need to pack? And then he's like, right, well, we'll be camping and, you know, I'll throw some nice hotels in there for you. And I'm like, great. But literally, we, you know, here's an example. We rock up to Yosemite National Park and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. How long are we here for? So, you know, 5 nights, great, okay, I'll get my camping stuff ready. But then by the fourth night, I'm like, where's my hotel?
Yeah.
But it's, he loves doing it and I don't. And that's where you've just kind of got to trust your partner to, you know you well enough to, yeah, book something
that's
that you
really
enjoy.
Interesting, yeah, because this conversation I was having with the War Office over the summer, because she's a little more numerically minded than I am.
Yes.
Finance is something that she understands, you know. Mm-hmm. She gets the nuances of mortgages and stocks and shares and bits and pieces and things like that, whereas to me it's just double dutch, the whole thing.
Yes. Yes.
We have this conversation where, you know, in terms of sort of financial planning, bits and pieces like that, she will take care of the majority of that. And we mentioned it to friends over lunch over the weekend, and they were absolutely gobsmacked, saying, what, you don't share that information? Is this not, it should be a partnership the whole way through.
Okay.
But then again, I mean, it's finding that balance, isn't it? Because
yeah,
you need the element of trust.
Yes, absolutely.
And B, if one half of that relationship is better at it than you, then that makes sense.
Then why
not?
You know, if you want to sit down at a laptop and have 7 windows open trying to get your camping space for Yosemite National Park on the 7th of July, then go for it. You know, I've got other things to do.
See, that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
It's that time management thing as well, isn't it? And
yeah.
There are certain individuals out there, certain mindsets that are willing to sort of, you know, mine the websites to find out when's the best time to book
yes.
a flight,
yeah.
and how to get the best flight, and how not to get the best flight,
yeah.
where to get the best deal.
Yeah.
Whereas I just don't have the time to do that.
No, I don't. And again, I think it's understanding other people as well, and just accepting that people have got different priorities. Haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, so, and it, yeah, it works.
Yes.
Well, it has done for the last 9 years. So.
There we go. We were asking you for your thoughts. If you want to get involved, how does it work within your relationship back home? Is there one half of the relationship that take care of the booking when it comes to holidays, to hotels? What about finances? What about restaurant bookings as well? And what is the etiquette of letting the other half know as well? I mean, would you be happy coming home this weekend, Joe McKibben, and your husband saying, pack a bag, we're off?
No, I wouldn't.
You'd have to know.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Of course. Because there's all the other life things that go on. No, I wouldn't. Mm. And I wouldn't trust him anyway. It would, yeah.
But is there an etiquette? Do you have to let somebody know? Or, you know, the element of surprise, the element of, you know, you've worked so hard and you deserve this. And therefore, I want to take you out for a treat. I'm not going to tell you where we're going. Pack a bag. We're off.
No.
You couldn't deal with that.
No.
You'd have to know.
Yeah,
you'd have to know what sort of hotel it was or break or whatever.
I have an example that I can give you later about
right.
a little trip to
Look
Somerset.
Okay. Yeah. There's no such thing as a little trip to Somerset, is there? Eh?
Apparently there is.
Joe McKibben, what are people saying?
Well, Gordon here is saying that he books everything and he just sends his wife and daughter the calendar invites.
Very good.
Which
well
is
done, Gordon. That's the
fair
way
enough,
to do it, isn't it?
Fair enough. And then also somebody who hasn't put his name on it says, I've been married for 27 years and my wife loves to control all of it, so I just let her do it. He knows how it works.
Joe.
Happy wife, happy
life.
Thank you. Let's get to a couple of the stories that are doing the rounds this morning. We're happy to be joined by Linda Bonner. Linda is a life coach, author and keynote speaker based here in the UAE. And we're going to talk about school fees first and foremost, if that's okay, Linda, because a few grumbles out there, obviously back to school, a lot of parents sort of getting into, you know, I don't know whether this is any validity, but, you know, we do so much planning ahead of that first day of school.
Yes.
And we get ourselves into this mindset. And then we get involved in parental chats at drop-off and the coffee house and in the car park, and it's all gone out the window completely.
Yeah.
This latest grumble is about what? School fees and methods?
School fees are absolutely... When I was looking into this, you know, this morning and even a couple of days ago when I started looking into it first, the range in school fees is absolutely, it's phenomenal. So you have schools out there that offer education for a couple of thousand dirhams a term or even, you know, a year. And then you've got schools out there who are, I think it was, you know, 101,000 dirham per annum was, I think, the highest that I saw. They could be higher. I'm not sure. I know my schools pretty well in Dubai, having spent a lot of time working in them and working for them as well. So you kind of think, and it's that's just the school fees, but then you've got, you know, you've got school trips, you've got books, there's uniform, there's PE, there's extracurricular activities. It really does add up. But one of the things that really got me thinking was, it's just that huge variety, isn't it? And I speak to a lot of parents about this. And when I'm working with parents or working with their sons and daughters, it's that kind of thing then of, you know, well, how can I possibly afford it? You know, or how can the school put extra pressure on me then to pay for this? And it also comes down, I think, to, you know, you as a parent, I'm not a parent, but you as a parent, just drawing the line at where what you feel comfortable. So like having those healthy boundaries around what you're happy to spend money on and where you just say to your son or daughter, OK, you're in the school for the next 5 years. So you know that they do a fantastic ski trip, perhaps in year 10 or a language trip or something in year 9. What do you really want to do? Mm. What really kind of like catches your eye? What are you interested in? Because I think the cost on parents is absolutely phenomenal.
It has been escalating down the years. Now, I'm you know, just playing the sort of devil's advocate to a certain degree on this one. I must acknowledge the fact that a number of schools have frozen their fees for this year. Some have even reduced their fees for this year, which is a great move. But I think the thing that you mentioned there is the flip side, because whilst that's happening and everyone's thinking, OK, we're getting a little bit of parity, it seems to be one step forward, two steps back, because as soon as that happens, then the costs of school trips or the costs of uniform or the cost of ECAs go through the roof. And you're thinking, hang on, I'm getting back in here, but I'm giving with this.
I know. Swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
And maybe we are just living in a world where education the world over is becoming more and more expensive. I mean, are we unique here in many ways? I think we are to a certain degree.
I think definitely to a certain degree. But I also think the facilities that schools offer young people here are absolutely incredible. I mean, I don't know about you, Tom, but I did not go to a school that had, you know, practically an Olympic-sized swimming pool and had incredible teachers. You know, I'm not here, you know, to criticise any school and their fees or any teachers either. Like, but the teaching, the education that young people get here is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. A number of parents out there, guess what, complaining about teaching methods, but also school fees. No big surprise with a brand new academic year having kicked in. We've got Linda Bonner here in studio as well. I mean, in terms of that, Linda, and you're a life coach here. You've got a number of clients. You're a keynote speaker. You speak around town at a number of different environments as well. Is that what you're hearing at the moment? Is that one of the major concerns for residents and expatriates here in the region at the moment, is how are we going to afford the school fees?
Definitely, Tom. Mm. And conversations that I've even had with parents in the last couple of weeks since I've come back, who would like to see their son or daughter have a bit of extra guidance in terms of setting goals or getting organised for the academic year and would like to invest in my services, you know, are saying, I'd really like to do this for my son and daughter now, Linda, but, you know, we also have these other things coming up. And I say, look, that's fine. And, you know, Tom, I'd love to offer my services for free. At the end of the day, the bills have got to be paid as well. And so they are conversations that I am hearing a little bit more of. Maybe there's, you know, I'm sure there are other factors involved as well, such as different workplace environments or things that are going on in other people's lives also. If you have children, you've got, you know, it all adds up. Mm. And like we were saying, it's not just the school fees then, but it's the other things that go on top of it. And yeah, this is an amazing place to live. And again, you know, the education is amazing. Young people have fantastic lives here as, also. It's the kind of thing, you know, another recent conversation that's just struck me is some people have said, I can't afford to actually have children here in Dubai. And a lot of my teaching friends, for some of them, it's reasons why they spend so long in Dubai in terms of their teaching career. So they have children then that they can access the amazing educational facilities.
Yeah. But let's just throw that. I know I'm sticking with this story a little while, isn't it? Because we're getting loads of response at the moment. We're getting a number of people sending their thoughts in. The question we've been posing to you, why are school fees here in the UAE so high? Are they too high? And what can be done about it? You've been thinking about it over the last week. Please do share your thoughts with us. I suppose one thing we need to do in the interest of trying to balance this argument is look at it from an education point of view. And you just mentioned that, you know, you'd love to offer your services for free. Joe and I offer our services for free. But we'd love to, all of us would love to be more philanthropic and give our time and whatever. And yet the pressures upon us at the moment are such. Is that not equally the same, though, for educators and schools? Or do we build them up as these big baddies that are just there to make money and take our money away from us?
That's a really interesting question. I've worked in a number of different schools around the Middle East. And at the end of the day, you know, education is a massive, massive business here in the Middle East.
Yes.
That's essentially what it is. And I'm not saying that every school has that focus, because the schools that I know and the schools that I'm delighted to work with have a very, you know, a well-rounded view of what they would like their young people to become when they leave their doors, you know, at the end of X number of years or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's a business. Education is a business. And, you know, I think it's here in the Middle East and in Dubai, it is one of the biggest businesses.
Mm. Is that something that rings true with you? If so, we'd like to hear from you this morning. Fahad, thank you to you for yours. Thanks to others as well. We're going to try and get to a few of those in just a little while. So if we can't get in touch with you in the next few moments, don't worry, the team, Marcus and the rest of the crew, will be getting in touch with you before the end of the show, that's for sure, to see if you can share your thoughts with us. This is going to be one of the talkers that we could deal with a little later on. I just want to add to that, because another of the stories that you have picked out again, is schools orientated this morning, which is the ban on mobile phones. UAE school leaders are defending their stand on mobile phones. Tell us more.
This is really interesting, and it's a conversation that I had with my husband a couple of months ago when I said I don't understand the use of phones in schools. And that's me being a little bit archaic with that, okay? Because, you know, I was a teacher for 14 years as well. And from my point of view, it comes from like a safety and a security point of view. Okay, so students all leave the school gates at the same time, and they're all on their phones and they're scrolling, and, you know, they're not really looking crossing the road, and that's safety.
Okay. Yeah.
However, same breath then, you know, I don't know what it's like to coordinate three different school runs at three different schools in the morning or in the afternoon or something like that. So if you need to keep in touch with your son or daughter during the day, then you need your phone. A lot of teachers encourage young people now to bring their own devices to school. You know, perhaps the schools don't provide laptops, or they don't provide devices such for each and every single student. So they do have to take a phone. And I was one of those teachers who would say, right, okay, so let's do some research, or, you know, let's, you know, use Kahoot, or, you know, some kind of an interactive quiz or something like that.
Let's play Fortnite.
Yeah. Tom. Don't play Fortnite. Yeah. So there's for and against. And again, for me personally, it comes down to having that balance, you know, and young people using their phones in a sensible manner as well. Social media is fantastic. Using your phone in school is fantastic for so many different reasons. It's about having that balance, and it's about knowing when to draw the line.
It's interesting. It's a topic we've discussed here on the agenda over the last couple of weeks, prompted by the news out of France recently that they've had an outright ban on phones, on tablets, on smartwatches as well. It's come into law over there. It's such a difficult one, isn't it? Because we spoke to educators here, and we spoke to a couple of we spoke to the headmaster of a Jess school. He came on and said, "Look, I disagree with this because in the environment in which we live, exactly that you're saying, A, they are an they're becoming an educational tool. Yes,
definitely.
The lines between entertainment and education are very much blurred on those because you can access both. It's not like going to a school satchel and pulling out a bag and that's your
satchel.
Entertainment. It's all there. Do they not do satchels anymore?
Tom.
But equally, so there's part of education moving forward, and that's where education is evolving. At the same time, like you say, the practicalities.
Of course. You know, and we want our young people to, you know, we're trying to get them ready to be future leaders and innovators and thinkers and everything else. And we're moving closer and closer to spending even more time in technology, you know, like it or not. And I see my nieces and nephews and I see young people just being able to do so many things on their phones, on their devices that I just have no idea. They're like, you know what you need to do here, miss? All you need to do is just like recode that and then it's fine. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You know, so it's admirable. I think it's great.
Interesting little chat, this one. We want your thoughts. We're talking school fees this morning. Why are they so high? Can they be reduced? What is the reason for them being so high? Are they too high for you? I'm going to add on to that the conversation with regards to mobile phones. Again, what's the policy in your school, in your children's school at the moment with regards to mobile phones? Just one further one on that one. I mean, I went out the other day to buy a protractor and a compass. And what was the other one that you have to use? The rectangular one. Mm. What are they called? One of them ones as well. Because
I want to say a set square, but set I've square got is, so many like math teacher friends who'd be like, "No, Linda,
what is it? What's the triangle one? If you know the answer, 4001." But interesting, I went out to buy that because the school demands that son has it for the new academic year, etc. Which was great. Nice, picked that one up. And then as I was there, I sort of reached for a calculator as well, because I remember when I was filling my school satchel and my pencil case, everyone needed a calculator. But do you now? Because, or can you just use your phone?
No, you have to have those specific, like, scientific calculators. That much I do know about math.
It's more than just the plus and the multiply and the subtraction buttons.
Oh, no, mobile phones, they're going to do all sorts these days, though.
No, I do.
We were going to get some more thoughts on the team from the team in just a few moments' time. I've got Linda Bonner here in studio. We're working through some of the stories that have caught our eye throughout this morning and also the last couple of days. No big surprise that back to school education and the welfare of the younger generation are very much to the fore in a number of the major media sources. We've talked about school fees, the pressure therein. We've talked about extracurricular activities, the fact that there is a perception out there that ECAs and groups and activities are getting more expensive as well. And starting earlier for a number of youngsters. Is that the case? We'd like your thoughts on that. And also we've talked about mobile phones, the pressure that's putting on. I like this one though. You're going to give talk us about scroll-free. It's not scroll-free. That would be a different one altogether. But the scroll-free September.
Yeah. So
scroll.
It's...
Scroll-free September is what?
Scroll-free September. I'm going to sound like a pirate, like with scrolls or something. Scroll-free September is encouraging people to basically scroll less or not at all on their mobile phones for the month. So to take a break from social media, to do something to look after your own kind of mental health and your mental wellness as well. Because one of the big things associated with this, and you know, again, social media, so good in so many ways. I use it for my own business. It's such a positive tool. However, there's also this then like compare and despair syndrome that is so popular, not just amongst young people as well, but amongst adults. So where we just spend time scrolling. And, you know, you come across either somebody you know or somebody you don't know. And it's that kind of, oh, you know, why have they got this? Or why is that going so well for them? You know, I'm doing the same kind of thing. Why have I not got this? So it's really encouraging ourselves to take a step back and look after ourselves a little bit better instead of looking at people's highlight reels. Or when we are scrolling, to scroll almost like with a little bit of purpose in terms of, right, you know, I'm going to look to find Tom's Instagram account so I can connect with him, or I can, you know, I can send him a link to buy some satchels or something perhaps that he'd like, or, you know, a new calculator. So scrolling with kind of purpose, so, you know, to find information. you know, how many of us spend the time that we are on our phones or on our devices, how much of that time is productive and is valuable as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? And it's become our go-to, hasn't it, in moments when we're feeling a little insecure. I know, so every time I get into I'll get into that lift, I promise you, later on this afternoon when I'm leaving this building, and somebody will start scrolling through their phone. It's your go-to, isn't it? You go to your phone and you start scrolling because you don't want eye contact, you don't want to speak to anyone.
But also, going back to your point about using it for a sense of purpose or to find something out. However, I do find that the teenagers, if you're having a conversation over dinner, or if you're having a general conversation and you say, oh, I wonder, and you wonder something, and they'll go, well, I'll look it up.
Yes.
And you go, no. Let's wonder for a bit longer before we need to actually access that information. You don't need to now actively go and get your phone and look it up immediately.
Yep.
Let's have a think about the answer. So there's also training them how to, you know, understand the fact, they've got the font of all knowledge at their fingertips, but they don't need to access it instantly. They can have a think about their response.
That's absolutely fantastic, Jo. And it's one of those things where you know, we were talking about this earlier as well. You see somebody in a movie and you think, oh, where have I seen them before? You know, and all of a sudden it's right, you know, I'll scroll, I'll look for IMDb or something, instead of thinking, right, you know what, it'll come to me, it will. And it's one of those almost like kind of like a knee-jerk reaction now, isn't it? And for a lot of young people, in terms of, you know, I think sometimes they want to contribute positively to the conversation as well, and be helpful in terms of like, well, look, Mom, you know, this is the answer to it. And that's really good as well.
I've got Linda Bonner here in studio with me, and we're talking school fees this morning with good reason as well. I've just dipped into some of the comments that are coming through on this one. This one's from Harsh Singh out there saying, look, I've had to shift my child back to India IB school and it's half the fee at the moment. This one from another of our listeners out there. The problem is education institutes have moved away from being an institution that imparts knowledge to a business that focuses on profits. Linda, again, I don't want you to name names, but you've been involved in the education sector here as well. I know it's something we touched on earlier on in the show. Is it profits, or is it profit margins, or is it just making ends meet when it comes to schools?
I can't speak for every school here,
exactly,
obviously, like in Dubai, Tom, but the schools that I do know of care deeply about their students, really, really deeply. They put so much, just so much of everything, like their time and their efforts and their thought and everything into making sure that their students are happy, that they're comfortable in the school, that they get a good education, that they get a well-rounded education. So it's not just purely academic in focus, but that there's, you know, excellent sports facilities, music facilities, art, you know, that everything is there from them. And if you look at the different programs that schools offer today as well to provide that type of education for their students in terms of PSHCE programs and looking after their mental health and their mental well-being. Like, so, yeah, they do have to make, some schools do have to make money at the end of the day. But that's just what it is. And surely when you choose a school for your son or daughter, that you're aware of their type of philosophy, whether they're for profit or whether they're non-for-profit.
This is one that's just come through. No name with it, but appreciate the sentiment, because I think it sort of backs onto what we were saying there. Say, look, guys, of course they're expensive because we're paying for the cost of real estate and not for the education. We pay for the land of the swimming pool. The sad part is the schools don't even hide that fact. My son's school, on orientation day, they actually said to us parents, please bear in mind how expensive land is in Dubai when you're debating why our fees are so expensive.
Yeah, that's massive. I know a particular school in this. You know, the rent is something like a couple of years ago, it was like 10 million dirham a year. So when you think of it like that, and that's a couple of years ago. So what is it now? And a lot of schools based in their location as well, if they're in prime location, you know, these are things that have got to be taken into account as well. Not to mention the teachers, like if the school has got an outstanding rating, they've got a team of outstanding teachers there as well. These things have all got to be taken into account.
I think that's a really valid point. You look at the KHDA rankings each and every year, and the outstandings and the excellence and the great. So you are getting a good education. You're getting choice of education, IB, and other curriculums from around the world. You're getting new world-class facilities as well. So is it worth the money? A lot of us would suggest maybe not. Let's go to line number two and say good morning to our friend Fahad. Hey, Fahad, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Now, Fahad, you have a five-year-old in school here. Are the school fees worth it?
I think they are. My daughter is really happy at school. She's learning a lot of stuff that I think when I was 5 years old, I had no clue about. So I think it's definitely worth it. And to make it fair, it is 15% of my income that I pay towards her school fees. But she's happy. She's learning a lot. I think it's worth it. But if it was out of my budget, I would probably find another school. And there are lots of schools in Dubai now which are at lower price. And there are some which are at higher price. So I think I'm really happy with the school.
You're obviously one of those individuals that believes in education. You're happy with the education that your child is getting. Are you getting to the point that you're having to look at the numbers closely at the moment, Farhad, with regards to school fees?
I am, yes. So every year we do a review, me and my wife, we review our finances and see if it's worth going for a certain school. My daughter has been in this school for some time, and I think it was definitely worth it. In our culture, spending on education is a great investment.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's what my parents did, that's what I'm going to do for sure.
Great to get your thoughts this morning, Farhad there, joining us live on the line. Really appreciate that one, Farhad. Thank you for that one. Listening on with 50%. Of your salary. I mean, there are all sorts of equations out there. You can't take anything away from what Farhad was saying there in terms of, you know, it's part of the culture. If you are able to do it, you do it. You give to the next generation. Why wouldn't you? But again, for those that are number crunching, for those that are putting it onto a spreadsheet, etc., if you're looking at 50%, half your salary coming out each month to go into education, is that feasible? Is that realistic?
But it's also, excuse me, it's also people's priorities, isn't it? And what people's beliefs and values. And when people believe in something like education and providing for their sons and daughters, then they'll do it at any cost. I've known parents who've worked 3 or 4 jobs between them to keep their son or daughter in a British curriculum school because they believed so much in it. And they believed that they were doing their best for her and making sure that they were providing for her future as well. So it's different people have different beliefs around education as well. Mm. And, you know, they'll look for a school that meets those needs as also, and thinking about their sons or daughters' future and what they want them to get out of life also.
More from Linda in just a few moments' time. So questions to you out there. School fees, are they worth it? 50% of your salary, is that something you would be willing to invest or a credit to the school fees throughout the year? Or possibly do you spend more on your school fees?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.